Today on Family Talk. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Family Talk with your host, psychologist and author, Dr. James Dobson. I'm Jim Veldheis, and today we're sharing a classic broadcast honoring moms. You'll hear our former co-hosts, Ryan Dobson and Luann Crane, along with Dr. Dobson, sharing their favorite mom memories. I know you'll be blessed by these tributes, so let's join them now on Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
Sunday is Mother's Day, and I do hope that our listeners will do something specifically loving and caring for their mothers. You know, motherhood is one of the most important responsibilities in the world, and yet it can sometimes be rather thankless, especially when the kids are teenagers or are getting older. And I know it would mean an awful lot to the moms who are out there to have expressions of love and care and just a little bit of payback for all the work that they did.
Okay, happy Mother's Day, Mom. Yeah.
You know, our country has set aside an entire day this Sunday to focus special attention on the role that mothers play in our lives and to tell them how much we appreciate them. My mom is gone now, but I would give anything to be able to sit down with her for an hour or two and thank her again for all that she did to make my life meaningful and warm and secure. She was a great mother. Yeah. Do you know that I dedicated Dare to Discipline to my mother? For a very good reason, because her principles are all through that book.
Because she did dare?
She did dare, I'll tell you.
And you turned out pretty well, Doctor.
Well, that's why I'm so wonderful today, I guess. You know, she didn't think these principles up herself. They're in Scripture, but also they were passed down from generation to generation. And she knew them, and she was committed to them. Mm. And I just look back on those years with wonder, because she was magnificent.
She really was, Dad. She was a very, very special lady. She had a lot of patience and a lot of warmth. That Southern hospitality was just emanating from her, and I remember her well. What stories do you remember?
Well, you know, I've told a lot of them, and they're very familiar to some people. But the one thing you didn't want to do to my mother is to sass her. I mean, she was very patient, as you said. She's very kind and loving. But if you got a little lippy, she could straighten you out very quickly. And you'll remember I've told the story about the day that I said something really smart to her. And I remember thinking that probably wasn't a good thing to do. And I kind of took a step back to see what she was going to do about it. And she reached over and got a hold of a girdle that was sitting on the ironing board. And I could still hear that thing coming. You know, it was whistling through the air, and it had all these straps. You know, those girdles in those days weighed about 16 pounds. And she swung that thing at me and caught me across the chest. And all of those straps came wrapping around me afterward. And, you know, did that make me insecure, or did that wound me emotionally? No, but I learned not to say that to my mother.
I'm guessing you never said that again.
I never did it again. She was so wise in the things that she did. The other story that I have shared on occasion is that when I was about 14 years of age, I went up Fool's Hill. You know what that is?
No.
You never heard that phrase? Mm-mm. That's what happens to you when you're about 14 and you're in middle school and you get kind of goofy and you are disruptive in the classroom and you don't like to work. You especially don't like to work either academically or any other way. And I went up Fool's Hill and my mother knew it. She knew what was going on. I don't know how, but she knew it. And she sat me down one day and she said, you know, I know what you're doing in school. I know you're not working and I know you're giving the teachers a hard time. And I've thought about what I'm going to do about it. And I've decided I'm not going to do anything about it unless the school calls me. If they call me, I want you to know that I'm coming to school with you, and I'm going to follow you up and down the halls. Oh. When you're with your friends, I will be standing among the group. And she said, I'm going to be, I'll sit by you at your desk, and I'm going to be there all day long. And I mean, that terrified me.
Whoa.
I mean, that would have been social suicide for me. And I couldn't run the risk that she would do it because I thought she would.
She would have,
and
too.
And she probably would have. Mm-hmm. And I straightened up. I know my teachers wondered why there was such remarkable improvement. All at once, I got to be a really nice kid. But my mother knew how to handle me.
Well, my son's going to be 14 this summer. I'm going to remember that, Doctor. I think I'm going to pull that out.
It's really kind of mean, to be honest with you.
A couple of personal days can make a world of difference.
So. All right. Thank you. Doctor, I think I would have liked your mother. She sounds like she had a lot of spunk.
She was feisty, and everybody knew it. She was a charmer. My mother was one of a kind.
Hmm.
I have another story. You want me to tell you?
Yeah, I do. We're learning a lot about you.
Well, it was also while I was on Fool's Hill. I stayed up there for a year or two, and during my eighth grade year, the teacher made a deal to us. She wanted us to read, and she wanted us to read the classics. And so she gave a numerical value to certain books that could be read. And she said, if you will read these and then let me know about it, I will calculate your number of points and your grade will be based on that. So you can have any grade you want. You can have an A+ if you're willing to do the work, if you're willing to read. Well, I went home and told my mother, and that seemed like a pretty good bargain to me. And I said, Mom, I think I can get an A+ in reading. I didn't tell her how I was going to do it. And she said, well, I tell you what, if you do, I'll give you $5, which was a lot of money. So I was determined to get the money, but I didn't want to do the work. And so I did a terrible thing. I just turned in a bunch of books, and I didn't read them. And I got all kinds of points, and I got an A+, and my mother gave me $5. Oh. And then I made a mistake. I told her about it.
Oh. You really were at Fool's Hill.
Yeah.
You were at Fool's Mountain
you
on that
You got
one.
It, boy. I was asking for it. I did not anticipate what her reaction was going to be. And she just looked at me, and she said, well, you're going to have to read them. And I said, what do you mean? I mean, there's these huge books. Ben-Hur was one of them. The works of Shakespeare was another. I was in the eighth grade. Oh. All I wanted to do was hang out with my friends. And she said, you're going to read every one of them. I took the whole summer to do it.
Oh.
It was awful. While everybody was out playing and having a good time, I was sitting in a room someplace reading the works of Shakespeare. And it was the worst punishment anybody ever gave me. And I came down to the end. And I couldn't get through Ben-Hur. I don't know. It's about 900 pages.
Yeah.
And I bogged down there. And so I went to my teacher and I confessed. And I said, Mrs. Harris, I've done a terrible thing. And I told her what I'd done, that I cheated, and that my mother is making me read all these books, but I can't read Ben-Hur. And she was very kind to me, and she said, I understand. I'll adjust your grade. My mother accepted it, too.
Really?
But I learned a valuable lesson from that one. And you know what? I still remember the books I read.
I bet.
I do. I remember a lot of Shakespeare's plays and other things that I would never have read if I hadn't been forced to do it.
Well,
but I had to give the $5 back.
It's a brilliant tactic. Instead of punishing you, she actually had you learn.
Yeah. Yeah, not only learn, but kept me away from everything I longed to do. You know, Ryan, I could have pulled that on you at some point.
We could have.
But you're not going to admit it, are
you? I'm not going to admit it here. I've had enough confessions on this radio program.
Well, you know, Dr. and Ryan, talking about just growing up in school, it reminds me of the time I was in fifth grade, and I had just gone to this brand new school. And I was sitting there. I was this very good little girl. I was a good girl. I know that'll surprise you. But I passed a note to one of my classmates. Her name was Irene Preach. She may be listening. And I passed a note and it said something about, this class is so boring. And wouldn't you know, the teacher found it, got it, took it up front. And as a result, my name was placed on the danger list up on the blackboard. It was called danger list.
And danger list.
Danger list for passing a note. And there it was, Lou Ann Davis. I was mortified. And I went home. I remember my mom picked me up. I got into the car and I'm not kidding. I was devastated. I was 10 years old, new school. And my name had just gotten put on the danger list. And I thought, my mom's going to kill me. And I got in, and I probably was choked up. I said, Mom, I got on the danger list. And she laughed.
Yeah.
She
yeah.
actually thought, this is not a big deal. And then she launched into a time of when she did something and got caught in elementary school. And I tell you, all of the guilt and all of the pressure and all the anxiety was gone instantly because she understood in the big picture it wasn't a big deal. And doctor, I tell you, it just reminds me of all of those times when our moms come into our lives and pick up those pieces. And I'll bet we've triggered some memories for listeners to call their mom and just let her know how much she means to them this weekend.
Well, Lou Ann, I do hope every mother out there who's listening to us now will know that she is loved and what an integral part she has played in the family. As a matter of fact, we asked our Facebook friends to share with us some stories about their own mothers. And I'll tell you, some of those stories will bring a lump to your throat.
Dad, it's amazing to see what an impact a good woman can have on her husband and her children. In fact, we had one Facebook friend of ours write a particularly moving story about her mom, and it just highlights this point so well that we called and asked if she'd share with us that story for our listeners. And here's what she had to say.
Hi, my name is Lauren, and I'm calling from Salamanca, New York, about my mother, Mary Page, who lives in Ruston, Louisiana. The best gift my mother gave me was the gift of you do what you have to do. That gift got me through school, through parenting preschoolers, through parenting teens, through heartbreak, through cancer, and has me holding tight to God's hand as I walk into my future. She stood faithfully by my father's side for 52 years. He passed away last September. She loved my friends. She was and continues to be tough, but fair. She was and is strong, but deep. She's adjusting to life without her partner, and doing it with that same incredible strength. She continues to inspire me. There was a time I didn't appreciate her wonderful strength. I thought she was hard. I thought she didn't love me and just felt a great responsibility for me. But now that I walk the path she honed out for me, I only begin to understand the depth of her love. My favorite mom story? I was 90 miles away in a hospital after almost slipping into labor months too early for the birth of my first child. She called to check on me and asked me if I needed her to come. And I said, no, there's nothing you could do. But then I hung up the phone and cried, wishing that I'd told her the truth about how much I needed her to come. 2 hours later, she walked through the door because she had listened to my heart instead of my words. And that's what a mom really is. She's someone who knows your heart better than anyone else does.
And that's a precious story from our Facebook friend and Family Talk listener, Lauren, from upstate New York. Doctor, it's so true. I don't know how moms do it, but my own mom always knew just the right thing to say or do in the moment.
Mothers are intuitive. They get it. My mother got it. She always seemed to be one step ahead of me because there was something in her heart that resonated with mine.
Man, that can just choke you up. Mine did too. Mom always knew what was going on inside of me, and she does to this day.
Sometimes she knows more than you want her to know.
That's true, but you know what, Dad? She knew things that even I didn't know Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. There were things happening. I remember in junior high, it was junior high. What can you say? Everybody has a hard time. And I was having a tough time. My birthday was in July. I never celebrated it throughout the year. And she said, you know, you should have a party. And I said, well, why? Being the logical one. She said, it would be fun. You can invite your friends. We'll have a party here. I'll make it great. And I was hesitant. I didn't know. I didn't want to invite people. I didn't know what it would be like. And she said, we're going to have a black and white party. And I had no idea what that was, but people would wear black and white. And she had black and white hats, and she had black and white jelly beans. And she got a cake mold that when you cut into it, it was a black and white checkerboard on the inside of the cake. And she put black and white balloons all around the backyard. And she said, you can invite about 20 friends. I forget what the number was. And I went through the list of all the kids in my grade, and I made a list based on who I thought would come, because that's where I was at. Mm. And so I invited my friends, but I didn't invite a lot of the kids that I thought were really popular because I never thought they'd come to the party. And a very interesting thing happened. They'd never been left out of a party before.
And I invited, wanted to come.
I invited everybody but them. And all of a sudden, I had a whole lot of new friends asking why they weren't invited to my party. And I didn't know what to say. And I went home and asked Mom, and she got this funny smile on her face. And she said, well, sure, of course you can invite them too. And every one of them came. Every single one of them.
The moral to that story is that she knew you needed that.
That's right.
It was not just a party. She perceived that you were hurting inside, and she figured out a way to help.
She was right.
That's a good mom.
And it did help.
I tell you another story about my mom?
Yeah, please do.
It occurred when I was in my last 2 years of high school, and my dad had packed up our family, and I found myself on a train heading for South Texas, and he took a pastorate there to be with me for the last 2 years of my high school years because I was drifting a little bit. And I was really lonely. I was in a new town. I was in a new state. I was in a small town when I'd been in a large town before. And I didn't know anybody. And it was really a very tough time. I didn't talk about it a lot, but I was really going through some pretty tough things. My mother knew that, and she figured it out. And one day she came up to me and she said, give me your hand. And I reached out, you know, a boy doesn't like to hold his mom's hand. And she took my hand, and when I pulled it away, there was a $20 bill in it.
Oh.
And that was a lot of money.
Yeah, it was.
When I was a junior in high school. And I said, what's this for? And she said, well, she said, I know that this is hard for you. I know you're being asked to start over socially. And it's tough. Your friends have been left behind. And this is not going to solve your problem, but it might help. Spend it any way you want to. My mom didn't have that kind of money. And to give me $20 for no reason other than she thought she might find a way to make life a little easier for me. And you know what I spent it on? A pair of cowboy boots. I was in South Texas and I needed to fit in. But it was just another example of my mother saying, what can I do to solve this problem? And she figured it out, and it really did help.
Doctor, mothers do those little things that are so significant that they might not even realize they're doing at the time. I think just last week I was in my 17-year-old son's room putting some things away, and I noticed something with my handwriting on it sitting on his desk. And I picked it up and looked at it. It was a note I had written to Kenny 6 years ago. And it just said, Kenny, just wanted to let you know, I'm going to choke up, how much I love you. And I've noticed lately how much you're taking care of your two brothers. And I just cited one or two examples of something he had done that had touched me, that he had done really, really well. So he would have been maybe 11 or 12 years old at this point. And that stinker has saved that note buried on his desk for all these years. I don't remember writing it, Doctor, but it touched his heart when we just breathe into their life at a key time.
Well, it stays with kids forever. Why was I able to tick off three stories about my mother here without really even thinking about them. Mm-hmm. Those things are burned into my memory and into my heart.
Yeah.
And, you know, my mother was a cook. Oh, man, was she a cook. How can I talk about my mother without talking about the food? You want me to spend
the red beans and rice
tomorrow?
Business?
Yes.
I've heard of that.
She was so good, and she came from a family of cooks. Hmm. And her mother was a great cook, my grandmother. And my aunt, Leela London, was a great cook. Hmm. Those things have great meaning to me, too, because whenever anything good happened, we had a good meal to accompany it.
You know, Dad, this is so much fun and it brings so much joy, and yet it does remind me that my wife doesn't get to spend Mother's Day with her mom.
Oh.
And Linda was the world's best cheerleader. Hmm. She could find something good no matter what was happening, and she made you feel good. You know, you'd be down or depressed, or you'd do something that you felt awkward about and you weren't quite sure, and she knew it and would just pour support into you and tell you how great you were and how special you were and how proud of you she was. And it's just a tragedy that we lost her, especially losing her while Laura was pregnant with Lincoln.
You know, Ryan, you're talking about Laura and her mom. Reminds me that we really shouldn't end this program with the assumption that Mother's Day is a happy day for all mothers. The truth of the matter is it's often a very difficult day, and it will be for Laura, obviously, having lost her mother. In fact, to be honest with you, Mother's Day can be one of the most painful days of the year because it is a sad day for mothers whose kids are grown and don't come see her.
Mm.
It's a very sad day for those who don't have a good relationship with their children. It's a very lonely day for some people, those in a nursing home, who are just lonely on this day. And so I would appeal to the families that are out there, think of your mom, not just today, but throughout the year.
Mm.
She gave to you during a time when you were entirely needy. You were dependent on her. And I'll bet in most cases, those mothers didn't withhold anything from those children. And now they're grown, and she's the one that's needy, perhaps. Reach out to her.
You've been listening to Family Talk as we honor moms. And as we celebrate Mother's Day, let's remember all that moms do every day of the year and do our part in helping them get the job done. For us dads and kids, let's show our wives and moms how much we love them. You know, every day, moms turn to Family Talk for resources and advice on marriage and parenting, and we're honored to be there to help. And we're always there at the click of the mouse or the turn of the dial because of your generous support. Believe me, we never take that for granted, and we carefully steward every dollar you trust us with. That's why I'm excited to tell you about a generous offer from Friends of the Ministry that will make your donations go even further. Right now, we have a $1.15 million matching grant, so your donation now has twice the impact for moms all over the world. Call us today at 877-732-6825 to find out how you can help us do more. This is Jim Veldhuis saying thank you for joining us today, and be sure to tune in next time for another edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. Family Talk is not associated with Focus on the Family.
You don't see many mothers dressed like Wonder Woman these days, but I think any mother who lovingly raises a child from infancy to adulthood deserves to be called a superhero. I recall a time many years ago when my wife broke her leg skiing, requiring me to play Mr. Mom for about 2 weeks. My first morning on the job, our headstrong 3-year-old boy began teaching me the rules of the game called motherhood. At 6 a.m., I was jarred from a deep, dreamy sleep by his loud cry, and he continued shrieking as I staggered down the hall. When I pushed open his bedroom door, the crying immediately stopped, and a cheery little voice said, "Is breakfast ready?"
He followed me into the kitchen where I rummaged through the cupboards with blurry eyes, all the while being barraged with questions. Why isn't the milk poured? And don't you even know where the eggs are? And are you sure you've ever done this before? I ignored his questions until finally I tuned in to hear him sigh and say, "I'm getting so tired of you." And why do I share these memories with you? Because if you're a mother raising your kids with love and devotion, you deserve a lot of credit and praise. You may not get applause from your kids, but you deserve a standing ovation from the rest of us. Commitment, dedication, perseverance, these are the hallmarks of a hero, an unsung hero. Happy Mother's Day, Mom.
When you become a parent, you find out quickly that kids don't come with instruction manuals. But you'll be glad to know that now they do, or at least with an iPhone app, free from Family Talk. This app personalizes resources around where you are in life. Whether you're a mom, dad, or looking for encouragement in your marriage, this app is for you. The app is packed with parenting and marriage advice from the expert on such matters, Dr. James Dobson. Go to the Family Talk website at drjamesdobson.org/app to download your free customized Family Talk app today.